We're doing Pirkei Avot with Rabbeinu Yonah. We're up to the fourth chapter, the 11th Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, "Haose mitzvah achat konen ofer haklit echad." A person who does one mitzvah acquires for himself one defense attorney. Valver avera achat, and he who transgresses a transgression, konen lo kategor echad. He gets himself, what's the opposite of a defense attorney?
Prosecutor.
A prosecutor. Tshuva u'maasim kitris bifnei apuranut. Tshuva and good deeds, repenting and doing good deeds, are like a shield. Tiris, in modern Hebrew, is a shade. In ancient Hebrew, the word tiris is a shield that takes on three sides of the person's body, like a U-shaped shield. So teshuva, repenting, and maasim tovim, good deeds, are kitris, like this large shield, bifnei puranut, in the face of puranut, in the face of bad things happening. So that's the beginning of the Mishnah. Explains Rabbeinu Yonah, when one does a good deed, he acquires a defense attorney. Zamelitz tov la'adam lifnei ha'melech. That's some type of angel, it would seem, that says good things before the king. And when a person transgresses, he gets a prosecutor. Zamelitz ra lifnei ha'melech. That's a person who makes claims that are bad before the king. He says bad things should happen to a person. What does it mean? Teshuvan ma'asim tovim are like a shield. Ki atshuva she'adam oseh al ma'asav ha'raim, when a person repents over what they did bad, o ma'asav ha'tovim, or what they did good, she'asah mitchilato, that he did initially. So that's teshuva, repenting for what he did bad. Ma'asim tovim, doing good. Harei elu meginin alav, they protect him, kitris lifnei ha'furanut, they are like a shield in the face of bad things happening to a person. So that's the first part of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan Sandlar Omer. Rabbi Yochanan, who was Sandlar. Sandlar is one who fixes shoes. Maybe, what would we call that today? Cobbler. Yeah. Rabbi Yochanan the cobbler says, Kol kenesiya shehi l'shem shamayim. Any gathering that is for the sake of heaven, sofa litkayim, it will last. And when it's not for the sake of heaven, ultimately it won't last. Explains Rabbeinu Yonah, what does it mean for the sake of heaven? When people gather, either to learn Torah or do good things together, that's called a gathering that is for the sake of heaven. So that's a type of gathering. People will ultimately build relationships and it will be long-lasting. What's a nalishem shemaim? What's a gathering that's not for the sake of heaven? Shemitkapzim nistarer zalze. People get together and their sole purpose is to boss one another around. Velitkabet kol echad al chavero, or each one wants to take pride in front of his buddies. Look what I did, look what I accomplished, look how much money I have. So then ultimately that group won't last. And it's not always obvious why people form a group, why people form a club, why people do things together. Sometimes it seems like one and really it's the other. Sometimes it seems like people are getting together to do something positive. They can call it a shul board, they can call it a chesed committee, and in fact, everyone's just trying to outdo the other one. So that's Knesiyah She'ena L'shem Shamayim. Sometimes people have a group that gets together and there's no declared cause, but really every time they get together it's about doing good for people, it's about doing positive things or learning together, even though that's not necessarily the declared goal. The question here is what's the content, not what's the declared goal. The question is what's the real purpose of people getting together.
Start out great and end up getting corrupted. I mean, we had that in the Beit HaMikdash.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
It seems strange to me when they say, you know, since Hashem is so all-knowing, I mean, I know it's a metaphor, but this idea that there's a prosecuting angel and there's a defense attorney, I mean, like, we need that. Hashem needs that. You know, like there's some, I don't see, you know, I don't really understand it. I can get it as totally a metaphor, but what do you need it for? I mean, Hashem, that wouldn't seem to be told, this, I have to be reminded of your merit by another being that I created, another spiritual force?
So, I think this can be understood in two realms. The first one is just like prayer. What am I adding when I pray?
Trust.
Well, it's not only for us. There's also an element where Hashem says, you pray to me, and it's one of the ways I run the world. Yes, talk to me.
Yeah.
So there's... I'm saying there is that element where Hashem says, you should talk to me. There is the concept of prayer. So if I have the Talmud says there are different angels whose job it is to make the claims. And secondly, which is not mutually exclusive, but Hashem does show us this perspective of there are angels. What's the difference if it's an angel or Hashem's doing? On some level, we learned in the Ran that there are areas that don't require specific intervention. We learned the Drasha Saran that Hashem said, let me give you an angel. I won't run the Jewish people ascent into Israel. You'll have an angel take care of you. And Moshe says, no, I want you. And the Ran had explained that there are pros and cons when Hashem's directly involved. But part of it is Hashem's mercy. Now the flip side is, angels represent systems. I stand in the sun, I get warmer. I go to the cold, I get colder. I have an angel that his job is to say good things on my behalf. So even though I might not be up there saying it, even though there might be times where I don't even know I should pray for it, but there's an angel talking on my behalf, so to speak. There's a constant, going back to the first concept of prayer, there's this constant positive force fighting for me.
But it sounded in the way it was like something had been brought to him's attention that he was already not... Well, that he may not have been aware of.
No.
Strange, right. The idea that we can bring something to Hashem's attention that we're aware of and elevates ourselves and change us with prayer, that's, it's not easy either, but it's a little more logical because there's something happening to us when we pray. An angel, it's a third party intervening on our behalf. You can say it's part of the system. And that's
Hashem created systems. Yeah, Hashem says, I want... it's part of, again, our perspective. If Hashem says, asks the angels, should I create man? And the angels say no, and Hashem destroys them. Well, who created them in a way that they're supposed to say no? I'm saying, but you're supposed to learn from that idea. That Hashem was well aware that logically, as far as a system goes, the human being is flawed. The human being is not perfect. Hashem says, okay, nonetheless, that's what I want. I want man to overcome his flaws. I want man to grow.
I made another one of you.
Okay.
They could have more of the subject. But I have to learn the system. One of the problems growing up in another system is you have to sort of unlearn something.
But I'm saying, so then angels are also part of that, just like prayer is part of that. Hashem says, let them, so to speak, present your case before me. Now, part of what we learn is also that the system has room for leniency and stringency, midat rachamim and midat adin, such that if a person does something wrong, lightning doesn't come down and zap him. So how does a person get that extension?
I will be merciful to who I will be merciful to. When you have Moshe asked, how do you judge?
Oh, so we don't understand the system in the sense of a science that we can understand why this person has mercy and why that one not. The flip side is, within that system, Hashem says, part of what might govern, might, again, it's not a system, whether you will have that extension or that merciful approach is whether you've davened on your behalf, whether you've made your claims. I have an angel who's also making claims on my behalf. I did good things, they make claims on my behalf. Now, if we want to conceptualize it, again, we can see it as sometimes you do good things, and the idea of creating an angel is that we might forget it, but it keeps going. I met someone once, this happened to me, I don't remember, a few months ago, and the guy says to me that he's still learning. I made a shidduch, set up him with a chavrusa, and I don't even remember that I set up the shidduch. That he's telling me, you know, I'm still learning. That's what I'm saying, right? The meter's running. There's this idea that you do something and it keeps producing dividends in both ways, right? Right. Right. So I'm saying, so the idea of an angel, if it's hard for us to conceptualize the first concept we spoke about, could also be understood the other way.
And then you know, some things that I never thought I could understand. After a while, you do get a glimmer. Then some things I thought I understood, if I learned, you understood wrong. So it's continual.
Okay, yes, I'm fine. I didn't hear you.
Make the waters a little muddier. I'm Nechama Eliyahu of this week's Parsha mentions that we're in a place where you'd expect Rachamim for when Rachel is having children, or Kin instead. And for the Mabul, it's the name of Hashem. So the Derech Rachamim and Derech Din are not exactly quite so clear as what we expect.
Agreed. Yeah. It's not as obvious and as simple as we would like to make it. Yeah. Yes.
You said earlier that the angel speaks well on your behalf to Hashem, but why is the angel required as an intermediary?
It's not required. It's a system Hashem creates. Just like Hashem doesn't heat you directly, He makes the sun, and Hashem doesn't give you light, He makes the moon at night. Hashem created systems in the world. Hashem created illnesses and He created cures. Hashem created systems we work with. By the same token, we are taught there's some kind of heavenly system whereby Hashem is the judge, but there's also witnesses, so to speak. There's also a defense attorney and a prosecutor. And we have examples of this where Gavriel, the angel who fights on behalf of the Jewish people, has taken sometimes steps which cost him, so to speak, on behalf of the Jewish people, where the angel, so to speak, can suffer certain blows on behalf of protecting the Jewish people.
But Hashem, why are they needed if Hashem already knows every single angle of the situation?
So, needed, I can't answer. Why Hashem would do it, I don't know. But there are certain elements where it's as though Hashem says, I'm not doing what's bad to you. Let's take a person dies. So Hashem says, I didn't do that. He didn't take his medication. So you could always go back and say, but Ravon Shalom, you made it such that if he doesn't take his medication, he'll die. I mean, you created the illness. You created the concept of death. That's what the Medrash says, that there's this game, so to speak, where Hashem says, if you eat from the forbidden fruit, you will die. But Hashem already wrote the Torah, and in the Torah Hashem already describes death and the laws of purity and impurity. So what does that mean, if you'll eat from the fruit, you'll die? It was part of Hashem's plan that man would have death, that there would be this life and death and illness and suffering, etc. So what does that mean, if you eat from the fruit, you will? Ah, but I've given you this system where you can see it this way, that there's a potential for something better. And you can overcome that desire to eat the forbidden fruit and make a better world. Again, Hashem gives us the ability to work within a system which we can better connect to, which also, it's not only we can better connect to, there is a system, just like Hashem created a system for our lives. We don't just live in a world where everything Hashem does. You wake up in the morning and you can look and say, oh, Hashem warmed up the planet. No, you can see a sun and ask, did Hashem make that sun heat up the planet? Okay, so on a higher level, Hashem says, I also created a system in heaven. You'll ask me why. Why is a hard question. Because why always goes back to the question of why create a world altogether. Meaning for every why, for every answer to a why about Hashem, you can ask another why. You can always ask why. You could always continue asking why. It's hard to know why. It's hard enough to know what. If Hashem tells us that prayer works, and Hashem tells us that He creates a system which includes angels, so on some level Hashem says, I, even if a person doesn't merit that I should personally get involved on their behalf, I have given a person this spiritual representation that does work on their behalf. You could say, if you're on Avram Avinu's level, so Hashem personally is involved, so then Mishadid Ma'arachot, says Hashem can change everything in science. Suddenly the fire doesn't burn, suddenly anything can happen, sand can become swords and spears, but can every person merit that? Hashem created, again, a system that we live in. Hashem says, okay, not everything is me. I've also created forces in the world that will act on your behalf when you do something right, and the contrary, when one does something wrong. Again, it's a system. It's the idea that You have to be on a certain level that Hashem directly gets involved on one's behalf.
And so are these systems angels or no? That's different.
Which systems?
Any of these systems that Hashem put in place.
Well, certainly on some level there are angels. Chazal have different opinions as to whether angels are involved in everything or not. There's an opinion in Talmud and Medrash that every plant has its angel, every blade of grass.
We come down to definitions again. You're both talking about angels, but it's very possible you have different things in your mind of what the angels are. And, you know, we just learned 2 seconds ago, a few minutes ago, an angel asked a question, don't create man, free will. I never associated with angels. Angels are supposed to just take orders, is what I always thought. But here, maybe Hashem asked their opinion. But how do you evaluate an opinion if you don't have that capability?
Yeah, the angels kinds of have free will, or are they just programmed?
We had this class, I think, last week, where we said that angels do have free will. What does that mean if they don't have any evil inclinations? That's a class. You have a full class online. Angels and free will.
It's like, I think it seems that there are certainly things that are understandable.